whatever, if we can help each other, that's what we need to do, correct? Yeah. All right. Man, I tell you, this week, God has been wearing me out with my own message, okay? And so, and the word of God speak, man, that song that they just sang, I requested it because, man, as I was going this week, I was like, man, that's it, man. Nobody needs to hear what I have to say, you know? And I'll tell y'all today, I've been nervous again. You know, I got over that not too long ago, you know? And then I got nervous again, and I still struggle with trying to worry about what y'all think. You know what? And I'm going to tell you what, I don't care what y'all think, all right? Because God has just worked on me over and over this week about worrying about what y'all think, about how I say things, what if I say it right or wrong. I'm going to tell you what, I don't even care. All I'm trying to, I'm up here trying to glorify God, and that's it, okay? And so that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to enter in our Sermon on the Mount, True Righteousness Revealed, and the title of my message is God Blesses Us with Himself, okay? God is in the blessing business, all right? He wants to bless every one of us. And we think of all these blessings and things that God gives us, but what he wants to bless us with is himself. Okay, all we want, all these extra things, but God, all he wants is to have a relationship with us, okay? So as we continue tonight in the Beatitudes, we'll be building on last week's message. Last week, we were challenged to allow what Jesus was teaching the disciples, as well as some of the people in the crowd, to impact us in a way that would bring about a change in our perspective and would ultimately end up in a change in how we live and worship our God, okay? For us to get anything out of tonight, we must be moldable and we must be teachable. Okay, because that's what the Sermon on the Mount, it's Jesus' words, it's a word from God. Jesus is God, and his ministry had started, he had gotten his disciples and got them together, and he was began to heal people and do miracles and stuff, and a crowd had begun to gather, and he goes and he says, you know what, I need to teach my guys something. And so he comes on, he goes up on the mountainside, and he sits down, and he's teaching the disciples. And one thing I want you to know tonight is he wants to teach you personally. This is a personal message for everyone. God's word to us is not a big random thing. It's a personal thing for you and for me, and I want you to take it personal, okay? Because he was teaching the disciples. All right, and I look, and the disciples came in closer to him probably, and he was teaching anybody else that was listening, and a crowd was coming around him. And as I thought about the crowd, I thought about so many things. I thought, you know, the disciples were the ones, they wanted to hang out with Jesus. They were close. They wanted to know what he had to say, okay? But there's other people in the crowd that maybe they were some of the ones that had been healed, okay? Maybe they needed to be healed. Maybe they were just following the Lord just to see what they could get out of him. You know, who knows what that is, these other people that are around. But then you see the other crowd. You see the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were probably in that crowd as well, okay? They were probably following Jesus just to see if they could trip him up. They were following him to see, what is this guy all about, you know? And so this crowd that he's preaching to and this crowd that he's teaching to, really, I could see it in us, okay? And I asked the question today, why are you here tonight, okay? What part of the crowd do you play? Are you somebody who really wants to draw close to God, to be the disciple that he's called you to be? Do you want that? Is that something that you want? Because there are some beatitudes in here that Jesus is teaching those, and it's some lessons of life that he is trying to teach us to make us grow closer to him, okay? Are you just what you can get out of it? Are you here just for that? Are you here because you just really don't know about this Jesus guy and you would really like to check it out, okay? Why are you here tonight? Because the Beatitudes for us are a spiritual checkup. Look at those things that he's telling. He's telling us, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. These are things that we need to check our heart about, okay? And so as Mark said last week, Jesus is trying to reveal what true righteousness looks like. The title of our deal. Don't we all want to be truly righteous? Amen? Amen? Y'all know I ain't going to let y'all sleep. Amen? Amen? Okay, all right, okay. We do want to be righteous. And so as Mark said last week, Jesus is trying to build what true righteousness looks like. He did that by viewing us from the inside out. See, that's where it all happens. It's in here, okay? It's the heart of the matter that changes any action on the outside of you, okay? So it's in here. And so as Jesus is looking at each one of our lives tonight, he's going inside out, okay? We get to look at the outside, but that's the way he does things, all right? Okay, and we're challenged also to allow God to examine who you are and what we think in order to mold us into kingdom people. Okay? Y'all not here for you. You're not here on this world for you. We are kingdom people. As God's people, we are kingdom people. And because we talk about the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is not only the future expectation of Christ's return and reign, but it also includes allowing God to reign and control over our lives while we're here on this earth. See, that's what the kingdom of God is. It's not that extra special thing that we look forward to. That's one of them, yes. But the kingdom of God here on earth is you allowing God to reign in your life. You're allowing God to be king in your life. Okay, that's what the kingdom of God is. And so God wants us to, he wants to use us to expand his kingdom, okay? He wants to use you and me to allow other people who aren't allowing God to be reign and king in their life. He wants us to be that tool that he chose to reach out to those people and let them know, you know what, there's a king out there that's better than anything you're following, okay? And we are supposed to be kingdom people, and we're going to see that tonight, okay? But to praise God that he didn't leave us here alone to do it by ourselves, amen? Huh? I mean, because if I did it, I'm going to tell you right now, I'd mess it up in a minute. All right? His plan is for him to do it through us. And see, and that's where the title of the message comes in. Man, God wants to bless us, but he wants to bless us with his help, with his provision, with his power, with everything about him he wants to help us with, okay? He wants to help us. In Philippians 2:13, we read that, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. See, that's what God's word says. And I'm going to be reading a lot of God's word because, again, y'all do not need to hear from me. Y'all need to hear from God's word, okay? For some of you here tonight, the concept of God wanting to use you is like some far-off reachable dream, okay? You've already discounted yourself for God using you for all the things that are going on in your life or whatever. I'm going to just tell you right now, if I can find my place again. For you, I have to say, do not limit God. Do not limit God, because God will use anything he wants to. I am living proof, okay? And he'll use anyone that will allow him access to their lives. That's the key. See, God ain't going to make you serve him, okay? But he'll use anyone, get it, anyone. That's you. He will use anyone who will give him access to their life. And that's the key. You've got to give God access to your life. And then there's some of you, you don't understand why God's not using you more than he is. Now, I got some skills. How come God don't notice that, you know? I got a story that needs to be told, you know? There's some of you out there today maybe think God needs to use you more than he's using you. I'm going to tell you the same thing as I told the one that God can't use them. You got to allow God access to your life, okay? I don't care if you got a story. If you ain't got Jesus, you ain't got no story. You know, you ain't got no story. You know, I don't care you got skills. If your skills aren't spiritual gifts, they're worthless to us, okay? Because we need kingdom-minded people doing God's work under his power, okay? And I'll tell you, you know, you think, he may not be using you as quickly as you want to. I'm going to tell you right now, any of you right now that you think you need to be that extra step with God, he's working as quick as you'll let him, okay? Because God isn't interested in getting a job done, not getting a task done. Because he wants to use everyone, but he's not. It's the relationship that he is more concerned about, okay? He wants a personal relationship with you, and he wants to show himself to you. Do y'all grasp how big and wide that really is? That God, the God of the universe, wants to show himself to you. And by the look on y'all's face, y'all don't even understand it. I'm going to tell you right. God of the universe wants to show himself to you. That y'all ought to be excited about that. Okay? Hey, man, y'all looking scared out there. I don't know if the sun's in your eye or whatever, but I'm going to tell you, this is good news that God wants to use us. Okay? This is good news. And all through this series, we're going to be constantly forced to look to Jesus as our only hope of being able to accomplish his will. See, everything on the Sermon on the Mount turns us right back to Jesus because we can't do it without him. Okay, for one, we don't want to do it without him. In John 15:5, this is my life verse, folks. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. But apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, that's it. I'm going to tell you what, that's the essence of it for me. Because I know that apart from him, I can do nothing. And apart from him, I should do nothing. Okay, I should do nothing apart from him. And so that's a verse that just ever since I looked at that, because he is the vine and I am the branches, okay? I have to stay connected to the vine to be of any use to anybody else, okay? So we need God to show himself to us, right? Amen? Okay? Because that's the only way we're going to be truly blessed. Okay, and that word blessed, man, we throw that word out so much. And so I'm going to get to verse 6. So we're going to get into the Beatitudes right now. It says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. That word blessed, you know, and I think a lot of, we misuse that word. And we seem to think that blessed has something to do or based with our external circumstances. You know, that doesn't have anything to do with being blessed, because that word blessed means peace with God. Okay? It's a deep inner peace knowing that God is in control. It means you're highly favored and you're fortunate. See, that's our goal, to be blessed. If our goal is to be blessed, a relationship with Him is the greatest blessing. I don't care what God gives you, any material thing He gives you, it will not compare to a personal relationship with Him. Okay? And so, He says, blessed. Okay, so who are the blessed? Are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And so I look at that, those who hunger and thirst. I mean, the first two words that jump out at me are hunger and thirst. How many of y'all ever been hungry? I'm talking about hungry, like I know Mike's hungry right now. We were talking about it earlier. Okay. Truly hungry. I don't really know that we understand what true hunger really is in this place, okay? What about thirsty? How many of y'all been real thirsty? I'll tell you what, I'm thirsty right now. So I'm going to go ahead and... I got the cotton mouth because y'all making me nervous. But hunger and thirst, have you ever really, really been hungry? And have you ever really been thirsty? I mean, and what happens when you are hungry and somebody puts some food in front of you? And you get plumb ignorant, right? I mean, you don't care what you look like eating. I mean, you drink the bottle, you don't sip it, you take it in. I mean, you're aggressively tearing that stuff up, okay? You're aggressively doing that. And I'm going to tell you, I believe that's the heart that He's trying to get us to do. We need to be hungry. Man, we need to be hungry for righteousness, okay? But we're not. You know, we're hungry for crazy things. I mean, I think about food. I'm going to tell you, some of y'all out there today have more favorite restaurants than you have favorite Bible verses. That hurts, huh? I'm telling you, He got on me too, all right? But I'm just passing the blessing, all right? Okay? All right? A lot of the things I'm going to talk about, He wore me out this week, okay? All right? But that's the truth. I mean, food just seems to consume us. It seems to be what drives us. And what's so futile about that, and we go on vacation, you know, we have all this fun. It revolves around breakfast, lunch, and dinner. I mean, everything that we do, I mean, I didn't realize that I ate that much until I went on vacation. You know, it just seemed like, golly, it's time to eat again. We just ate 4 hours ago, you know? But the reality of that, think about that. This stuff that we spend so much money, we crave, all this stuff that we do, this food stuff, 4 hours later, it's gone. We need it again. You know, it is so temporary, and we put so much emphasis on it, okay? That's just one thing. There's things in your life. What do you crave? What is it? You may not crave food, you know, but what do you crave that if anything happens, you at the drop of a hat, you're going to go do it. You're going to sell out to it, whatever it is. You know, these are the kind of things that our God is trying to spark your conscience with today and say, you know what? We need to work on that kind of stuff, because you need to be hungering and thirsting for the right thing, okay? And the bad thing about food and these things, every one of these things are temporary. And anytime you invest your life in temporary things, you're going to get temporary results, okay? It's going to leave you hanging. It's going to leave you empty. I'm going to tell you, are not going to be satisfied with that, okay? In John 6:35, it says, then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never go thirsty. See, Jesus is a better investment. I mean, because that's the thing. I mean, when you become a child of God and you put your focus on thirsting for stuff other than the temporary things, I'm going to tell you what, you get satisfied. How many of y'all ever been satisfied in Jesus? I mean, it got to be more than y'all here, or I'm going to preach long tonight, okay? And we got to be satisfied in Jesus, because Jesus is enough, okay? Butch talked about that the very thing. Jesus is enough, okay? We've got to be satisfied with Him. Okay, so those hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is this righteousness, okay? It's the state of being right or being vindicated. That probably don't make no sense to anybody, okay? But it's whatever conforms to the revealed will of God in Scripture. See, righteousness, you need to be as hungry to be in a right relationship with God. Being right with God, that's what righteousness is, okay? Your desire to be right with God should be override any desire that you have. Your sleep, your hunger, anything that your leisures, all these things, these idols that we put out there, your hunger and thirst to be right with God should be the most important thing, okay? It should be your greatest priority. In Romans 4:3, it says, what does Scripture say? It said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. See, that's how you get it. How you get righteousness? You just believe God. And I'm just dumb enough to do that, you know? I believe everything in this book, all right? I'm gullible. I'm going to tell you. And when something in this book tells me to change, I change, okay? I am just gullible enough to believe God. And that's the way Abraham was too. God said, take up your family and go to a land. I'll tell you something else later. Just go do it, okay? Abraham believed God. He believed God was going to take care of him, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. See, this is a man who really hunger and thirst for righteousness. He wanted to be right with God more than he wanted to be with his family, okay? And so that's a big deal that Abraham, and that's the deal. You got to believe God. And what you believe about God is going to show in every aspect of your life and how you live it, okay? You may say you believe God, you may say it with your head, but I'm going to tell you what, if you do some of the things that you do when you walk out of here, you do not believe God. I'm going to tell you, that's the truth of the matter, okay? All right, and again, we see, and you think, well, you know, this righteousness, that's a little too far for me. Abraham, yeah, he's one of the fathers and the heroes of the faith. But no, this is for everyone. Righteousness is for everyone, and this is how you get it, okay? Romans 3:21 through 24. It says, but now a righteousness from God. See, if you're going to try to get righteousness any other way than through God and through Jesus, you might as well sack it up, okay? It's not going to work, okay? But now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. See, this righteousness is available to you, okay? Any one of you that believes, this righteousness is available to. So, but all you got to do is believe. Man, that seems so simple, but I tell you what, it just seems so hard at times when you're confronted with yourself and the things that get in your way, okay? There's no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If you've discounted yourself tonight, I'm going to tell you what, you are clearly teaching against the Word of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely. This is it right here. They're justified freely by His grace. See, that's it. Through the redemption that came through Christ Jesus. See, the only way you're ever going to be righteous is you've got to go through Jesus, and you can't do that on your own. It's going to be the grace of God that even runs after you like the God that we know. God, our God pursues us. He is running after us, and that is grace, okay? I don't know if y'all understand grace, but I'm going to tell you what, grace is the only way you're going to do it, get to Jesus, and grace is the only way that you're going to be able to live out this life, okay? That's it. Grace is it. That's the key. So what does it look like to hunger and thirst for righteousness? Again, I'm going to share a story because it wore me out this week. I was sitting down doing the notes, you know, and I'll tell you, I got through with them, and I'm like, man, just no clarity. Went to bed that night, and 5 o'clock in the morning, actually about 4:30, woke up, you know, all this stuff on my mind. I rolled around till 5, you know, and I'm thinking, man, what's going on here, you know? What's going on here? And I felt like the guy was telling me, Alan, get up. I'll show you something. God, it's 5 o'clock, you know. That might not be early for some of y'all, but I'm going to tell you what, 5 o'clock, early for me, all right? 6 o'clock, we could have talked. But 5 o'clock, well, you know, in my mind, okay? And God told me, are you hungry? I'm sitting in bed 5 o'clock in the morning, trying to figure out a way that I can portray this to y'all to where you'll get it. Dad, I want you to hear my words. God told me, are you hungry? He didn't say hungry, I said that. But he said, are you hungry? And I'm like, yes, Lord, I'm hungry. And I wasn't hungry for breakfast either, you know. I got up, and me and God had a special time. Because God wants to fill me. And He wants to fill you too, okay? But we got to be hungry for the right thing, okay? We got to be hungry for the right thing. And I'd already written these notes down, and so when I got after this little thing that the Lord does with me at times, I read my own notes again, you know? It says, you recognize that Jesus is enough, okay, when you're hungry. If you're hungry for righteousness, you recognize that Jesus is enough. You don't need all this other stuff, okay? You get your strength and desires from wanting to please Him over anything else in life. See, I'm sitting there at 5 o'clock, I'm thinking, God, I'm going to be tired about 4. You know, I still got work all day, you know. But I get my strength and my desires from wanting to please Him, okay? You trust Him with your present as well as your future. Okay, that's somebody who's hungry and thirsting for righteousness. See, I trusted God with that time. And that's just such a little thing. But I'm going to tell you what. Some of y'all will not trust God with your present because you're so scared of the future. Okay? Somebody who hunger and thirst for righteousness says, God, this is the time that I have for you. Today is the day that you made for me. And I want to rejoice and be glad in it. Okay? I want to use this day to the fullest. And His will is more important than your will. Can you honestly say that? Remember what we're doing here tonight, the spiritual checkup, okay? To get us to that next level, to open our eyes, to allow God to move and use us, okay? You should also be concerned about all unrighteousness, okay? The fact that people are dying and going to hell grieves you. If you're somebody who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you just can't allow the fact that people are dying and going to hell just to go unchecked in your heart, okay? And for that, God will bless you, I promise you. He will bless you with Himself. He will bless you with words. He will bless you with time. I'm going to tell you what. He will bless you, okay? And for they will be filled. See, He didn't say they might be filled there. He said, those who do that, they will be filled. You know, they'll be satisfied. And I think about being filled as well. Filled with the Holy Spirit. See, you get power because you get filled through the Holy Spirit. But here's the thing I know about me, and I'm going to tell you what I bet it's true about you. Y'all got some holes in you, don't you? I got holes in me. So as I get filled with the Holy Spirit, that stuff just runs out sometime and it don't hold very long, okay? But if I hunger and thirst for righteousness, I'm going to stay under the Jesus fountain, you know? And that's what we need. We got to do that kind of stuff. We got to continually be filled. You can't just come to church on Saturday and think that's good enough. I'm going to tell you what, if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you don't eat once a week, you know? I mean, you eat three times a day. How many, man, oh no, we're going to get all over everybody now. Eat three times a day. Some people on them crazy muscle diets, they eat four or five times a day. I mean, what about if that's what you did with the Word of God? I mean, what if you hungered and thirst that much where you three times a day, you just couldn't help but be with the Lord, okay? Man, that's free right there. That's good, huh? But what I want you to know about our God is He's not hiding from you, okay? He wants to fill you, okay? He wants to. But see, we've bought into a false, some of us, now, if you're a believer, this doesn't apply to you, but some of you here tonight may not be believers yet, and you might think that you are, okay? Because y'all bought into what we call a false righteousness. That means that your good outweighing your bad is good enough. As long as you're good, better than half the other sinners, all the drug dealers and stuff, if you're better than them, you're good, you know? But I'm going to tell you what, that's not what God's Word says. You are not good. You are going to hell if that's what you're basing your salvation on is the things that you do, the good outweighing your bad, okay? You have been deceived. See, and that's the thing about deception, what Pat Butch talks about, is people who are deceived, they don't know they're deceived. Or they wouldn't be deceived. Okay? That's the truth of the matter. I mean, you can be deceived. That's why the Word of God is so important. Because you need the Word of God to be that standard. It can't be your feelings, and it can't be other people's opinion. It has to be God's Word. Okay? And why trust something as important as your salvation to feelings and thoughts and other people's opinion? Look at God's Word. You're not getting there unless you go through Jesus. Okay? That's it. You're not getting there. I love to tell you, okay? And once you go through Jesus, there's some things change in your life, okay? You can't just get it in your mind and it not change you inside. True Christianity changes you, okay? So if you've got this intellectual knowledge and you had no life change, I'm gonna tell you what, you need to ask yourself some hard questions tonight, okay? I'm going to tell you, if you're living life that way, you're investing in the temporary. Because what you got ain't going to last, okay? It's not going to hold up to the refining fires of the judgment of our Savior, okay? And He is going to do that. Then that brings us to verse 7, okay? Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And so we look at this, and it's this personal thing that God pursues us, and He wants us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. But He said, blessed are the most merciful. And it's real profound. Full of mercy. Merciful. You're full of mercy. Okay? It's to feel sympathy with the misery of another, and especially sympathy manifested in act. See, true mercy is like true faith. It has to be accompanied by some kind of action. Okay, because if you have faith, and James says in 2:14-17, if you have faith but you don't have any actions, that's not real faith. Okay, because true faith produces some kind of action. All right, and it's the same way with mercy. Mercy is sympathy manifested in act, okay? And you will reap what you sow. What this looks like is your life, you actively look for opportunities to help hurting people. Okay, that's what a merciful person looks like, all right? And you live a lifestyle of noticing wounded people, okay? And it says, so that's merciful, man. You cannot, as a Christian, just act like people aren't suffering, okay, and not be a part of it in your heart and even in your body, okay? Now, is this a salvation issue? It can be. Y'all turn over to Matthew 25, 31 through 40. And this is kind of a common story that we hear about when we talk about God judging us and things like that. Starting in verse 31, the parable of the sheep and the goats. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed by My Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world." Awesome, huh? They get to go to heaven. Look at why, okay? He said, "When I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. For I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him and say, "Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick in prison and go to visit you?" So the king will reply, "I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." See, I think it's clear in Scripture that we cannot separate a relationship with God as true Christians and not care about folks. I think if you can do that, if you can say that you've received Christ and you go the rest of your life and you don't care about nobody else, I'm going to tell you what, you need to look again, okay? I believe this Scripture is clear about that. Maybe there needs to be some repentance here tonight, you know, because I'm going to tell you what, it's all about people. If it wasn't for us pouring into other people, well, He would just take us home whenever He saved us, okay? So it's about people. He came for people. He came for you. He came for me, all right? So we cannot give up on people. It says, Luke 6:38 says, "Give and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Okay? See, there's a principle right there. I mean, so say you do think about people every now and again, all right? You're going to get a little bit of mercy every now and again, okay? That's what that verse is saying. In the measure that you use, it'll be used to you. And it says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." All right? In the same measure we give mercy, it'll be given back to us, okay? Psalm 41:1 says, "Blessed is he who has regard for the weak. The Lord delivers him in times of trouble." See, God, He wants to take care of us. And so there are some benefits. There are really some benefits from being a merciful person, okay? And for me, I'm going to tell you, when you pour your life out into people and it's not just about you and your work and all these things that go on in your life, there's some benefits. And for me, I'm just telling you, these are the things I see in my daily provisions. I mean, I'll go and God will provide a customer that I didn't know I had, see? Some of y'all think that might just be a customer. That might just be good PR. You know, that might be good advertising. No, that's God. I'm going to tell you what, I see the blessing of God on my life. And that's where that's coming from. And see, God's doing the same thing for some of y'all, and y'all ain't giving Him no credit. Okay? And that we've got to be to where we look at God's mercy and take it. And for me, time multiplied. Man, ever since I took this job, you know, I still do my other full-time, part-time, however it works out job. I'm going to tell you what, God has multiplied my time. I get more done now than I ever did before. Okay? Praise God. I praise God for that. It's not me. I'm not working harder. God is taking care of me, okay? And He'll do the same thing for you. I promise you. But you got to sow kingdom principles. You can't do this worldly stuff and expect it to work out. Another benefit is peace in the tough times, okay? God acts on your behalf. But man, we need to give Him credit, okay? We just had a praise of a lady's cancer being healed, huh? Praise God for that, right? We praise God for that. It's not no accident. You may be saying, man, I'm kind of in pain my own self, you know? You might not say it like that, but I'm in pain, okay? You may think, I can't pour out to others because I got so much going on. You know what? Don't quit serving God. Here's what I say. In your pain, serve God and be merciful. Because that verse doesn't say, blessed are the merciful, unless they got something going on in their life. Okay? See, it doesn't say that. Because here's the truth of the matter. We all going to go through some pain. Okay? And so if we pull back when that pain happens and we quit being merciful and we quit doing the things of God, I'm going to tell you what, you have set yourself up for failure. Okay? Because that's what a lot of us do. We will we'll throw pity parties. Okay? I'm going to tell you what pity parties are. They're idol worship. Because you are so worried about your life, you've got all your focus on you, you can't see nobody else. And I'm going to tell you what, that's idol worship when you put all your eyes on you. Okay? So pity parties, we got to work those things out. Now look, we are the body of Christ, and if you're going through some stuff, let us know. We want to go through it with you. We got to mourn with those who mourn. Okay? But don't quit serving God. Don't isolate yourself. I'm going to tell you what, if you start isolating yourself, you ain't nothing but devil bait. It's the truth. I know it. Devil bait. I'm too fast. Byron said I had to repeat it. Okay, because you're out there by yourself, and Satan, he's just looking for somebody on their own. Okay, and that's why that happens. Okay, and other dangers. You get frustrated. Okay, you live a life of frustration. God didn't intend. He wants you to be blessed. Okay. And depression. I mean, these kind of things. I mean, fellowship problems with God and with man. So you start pulling away and you quit doing God's blessing. He'll pull his blessing from you. You'll turn into you turn into somebody nobody wants to be around. Okay? Because you start having fellowship with God, problems with God, and then that incurs fellowship problems with man. Okay? Right. So there's some benefits. Okay? So pouring out into others while we're in pain gives God an avenue to pour out his mercy on you. See, so when next time you start hurting, go bless somebody. Okay? I'm going to tell you what, it'll take your focus off you, and it'll put you in an avenue for God to do his work. See, because what happens, and I can't tell you how it's going to happen, but what happens is when you're still serving God in the midst of your pain, God will lay you on somebody's heart, okay? Where when you just draw yourself away and nobody ever sees you, and you think, man, where is everybody? Where is everybody? You don't run from God, he ain't laying you on nobody's heart, you know? You're not getting the mercy of God because you're not putting out the mercy to anybody else, okay? There's truth in what I'm telling y'all, okay? I've seen it work. God lay people on my heart for whatever reason. I'm going to tell you what, if God lays somebody on your heart and you don't call them, that's a sin. Because God might be trying to use you to encourage that person, okay? And I'm not saying that I hadn't done it. I'm just telling you, it's sin. Every time God shows me, man, I need to reach out to folks when God puts somebody in your heart. Because there have been times I call them, they say, man, how'd you know? You know, I didn't know. All I know is God said call. And that's what we got to do. That's the kind of people. And when we become that, you're going to see God show out. See, if you will just do those kind of things, you will see God show out. And he'll do some amazing things in this church, okay? And if you can't do it for that reason, listen to Ephesians 2, 4 through 5. Because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. See, if you can't do it, if you don't feel like doing it because God saved you, okay? That's enough. That should be enough motivation for every one of us, okay? I'm going to try to go really, really fast. All right. Verse 8. Blessed are the poor in heart, for they will see God. And I want to ask you a question. Do you want to see God? Oh, man, that's lame. Come on now. Do you want to see God?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have a pure heart? I didn't expect it to be as loud. But I'm going to tell you what, this verse says they go together, okay? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. I'm not saying that you don't see glimpses of God, but I'm going to tell you what, for God to manifest himself to you in a way that you've never seen before, you begin to dig some stuff out of your heart, you know, and you begin to make room for God. Because that when I thought about that pure in heart, I mean, pure, to me, to make something pure, you begin the process of taking out the contaminating factors of it, okay? And one other thing, you say, well, I can't clean my heart. Praise God, and I praise him that you recognize that, even though you might not have said that. You said, I can't clean my heart. 2 Corinthians 1, 20-22 tells us, now it is God who makes both us and you, Paul speaking, now it is God who makes both us and you stand firm in Christ. See, you can't stand firm in Christ on your own. It's God. It's the grace of God that does that, okay? He anointed us. He chose us. He set his seal of ownership on us and put his spirit in our hearts as a deposit guarantee what is to come. See, God put his spirit in our heart as a deposit. Y'all know about deposits, huh? You leave something of value to let them know you're going to come back, okay? And that's what God did. He came and he put his spirit in our heart as a deposit, guaranteeing that he's going to come back. But we're going to be held accountable to what we've allowed in our heart. See, God gave us his heart in our heart when we became believers, okay? And so we are a steward of God's heart. Did you think about that? I mean, when you got saved, God put his heart in you. You're a steward of that. So anytime you allow bitterness, whatever it is in your heart that you're allowing in your heart, every time you allow it in your heart, you're saying, God, come hang out with all this, okay? Whatever it is in there, okay? But God owns our heart, okay? He gave us a new heart. He gave us his heart, and we're to be good stewards with it. Galatians 4:6 tells us that because you are sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. See, that's why we can call him daddy, because we got him in our heart, okay? But here's the thing about that. This is why a pure heart is such a big deal. God can't abide with sin. Okay, so there's some things in our heart, and again, the list I'm going to give you, straight up from me, okay? Things I've dealt with, things that, I mean, not all of them, you know. But there's some, and I have a few possible areas of contamination here, okay? Because it's a big deal when you've got a contaminated heart. Because the Bible tells us that without holiness, no one will see God, okay? So we'll go through this real quick. A divided heart is a problem, okay? You may say, I'm busy. What does a divided heart look like? I'm busy. You know what busy is? Being under Satan's yoke. I mean, when you're so busy, you ain't got time for God. Satan has his run in you, okay? And you say you have no time for God. Man, I saw a guy this week, and he was struggling. I asked him, well, when's the last time you've been, you know, struggling paying his bills and stuff like that? And I said, when's the last time you've been to church? Man, I ain't got time to do that. I'm like, I don't think cutting God is the answer, you know? And I'm going to tell you right now, I had no compassion to help my brother, okay? And I don't think it's judgmental, because I think, here's the thing, mercy doesn't mean that you enable people in their sin, okay? So there's mercy. Mercy doesn't mean you give to every little thing. See, true love sometimes is saying no, all right? Because God does it to me. So true mercy and true love is saying no when you know some things are going on. Now, if you don't know it, man, sometimes we got to help. No questions asked, okay? But I'm going to tell you what, it's our job as the body of Christ to find out what's going on when there's continual need, okay? That's free too. And this is the big one right here. You're not content with where God has you. It's a big deal for some of us, you know. Some of y'all, man, y'all want to be married so bad, you can't stand it. Some of y'all don't want to be married at all. You're already married. You don't want to be married, you know? These are some kind of things that in your heart, okay? You want to be married so bad, okay? And then some of y'all want a job so bad, and then some of y'all don't even want the job you have, okay? It's this idea of being content. And we read in Philippians 4, 12-13, that I know what, Paul's saying, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. Amen? Okay. And a divided heart is going to go the direction that you feed it. Okay? So if you've got a divided heart, I'm going to tell you, if materialism is a problem for you, if you ain't got no money and you want to go on vacation, I'm going to tell you, quit watching the Travel Channel. You know? I'm just telling you, help yourself out, okay? And if you already got a divided heart and you know that that's what you're doing, you know that's a desire for you, why don't you spend some time with God instead of looking at the Travel Channel, okay? Same thing. I mean, if for some reason God hasn't blessed you and you ain't got no money, don't go to the mall. You know, don't go to places that make you thinking that you're less than somebody else. Because I'm going to tell you what, not having money does not make you less. Amen. Not having Jesus is what makes you less. Okay? And so you need to quit comparing yourself to the world. And you need to quit comparing yourself to whatever. Your financial status has nothing to do with how much God loves you. Okay? But that divided heart, it's bad. Okay? Because you can't have a pure heart always wanting what you don't have. See, because when you gripe about what you have, you're basically telling God you ain't happy with what he's doing. You're not happy with the way he's providing for you, okay? And so, I'm telling you, wear me out, okay? God's wearing me out. But I tell you, I have a praise. I've been in Gander Mountain 6 or 8 times, ain't bought nothing, you know? I don't have it anymore. I don't have that desire to just buy stuff like I used to, you know? Praise God for that. That ain't me, okay? Or a fearful heart is another contaminated heart. Because a fearful heart shows lack of trust and denies God's sovereignty and power in our lives. See, when you fear, you're total opposite of what God. And 2 Timothy says that we don't have a spirit of fear, we have a spirit of power and of love and of sound mind, okay? All right? 2 Timothy. In 1 John, and the only reason that you would ever need to fear is if you're out of fellowship with the Lord, you know, because it says, 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out all fear, because fear has to do with punishment. If you're right with God, you don't have nothing to fear. You got it? Did y'all hear me? If you're right with God, you ain't got nothing to fear. See, I struggle with that 4:30 today. Scared to death. Couldn't think of nothing to say, you know? And God said, you too worried about them. You worry about me and you. So I threw down the notes and I prayed for 30 minutes. God's faithful. Okay? He's going to do it for you. I promise you, God's faithful. And a person with a fearful heart, he feels the need or she feels the need to be in control. See, when you're scared, you want to be in control because you want to be the person running things. See, to allow God to take control of your life for some of y'all is no way. You ain't going to do a good job for me as I'm going to do for me, so I'm going to handle this on my own. That's a fearful heart. I'm going to tell you what, to be pure in heart, you got to get rid of some of that kind of stuff, okay? Because it says without faith, it's impossible to please God, because a fearful heart will not step out in faith. If God's continually tugging on you to step up into ministry, whatever it is, talk to somebody at work, whatever it is, and you got that fearful heart, I'm going to tell you what, you're disobedient, because it says without faith, it's impossible to please God, okay? And faith is something that operates in the present, okay? When you have to step out of faith, you say, God, what's next? That's what we ought to do. You know, I'm wearing myself out again, okay? I'm good sitting back, living on the last little experience, you know? But I'm going to tell you what, God has something for every one of us, and we need to step out in faith. Okay, and get rid of that fearful heart. And then a wounded heart. A wounded heart can easily be contaminated if it's not cared for. See, when you got a wounded heart, every little thing that hits it, man, it just opens up that wound again. Okay, at some point you got to give that wounded heart to God. And Wild at Heart, Eldridge talks about the wound of a man, you know, and he talks about how that wound, a lot of times, is given by the Father, you know, just with rejection or whatever it is, you know. There's a wound that's in every man, and sometimes it dictates how he deals with life and stuff. You got these over-aggressive men, maybe they had a dad, you know, the wound that's in their heart dictates what kind of person they're going to be. Do not let that happen, okay? Because when God comes into your heart, you ain't got no wounded heart. You got a full heart. You got all of God in your heart. You don't have the wounded heart anymore, okay? And a wounded heart sometimes manifests itself through anger and bitterness. And if you find yourself angry and bitter all the time, you need to ask that God, check my heart, because that's where it starts, all right? So how can I know if my heart's pure? I'll use a couple more verses here. It says Proverbs 15:13, and I say your countenance, all right? A happy heart makes the face cheerful, but heartache crushes the spirit. 27:19 says, a water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man. See, your countenance tells what kind of heart you got sometimes, okay? Now, it may be a temporary thing. Every one of us get sad, okay? I'm not saying that if you ever frown, you're not saved, all right? I didn't say that, all right? Because every one of us get down. But I'm going to just tell you, this is the truth of the matter, that a gloomy people do not reflect the character of our God, okay? Butch talked about the bitter beer face, whatever. We ought to be the happiest people around, but we're not, okay? And so that's something every one of us need to work on, okay? And your speech, Luke 6:45. If you wonder about your heart, won't you just, when you're off on your own, all these thoughts, you know, when your mind's an idol, what do you think about, you know? But then, ultimately, how do you speak? Now, you see, you may be able to turn the cussing off at church, all right? But you get around your boys and that stuff starts coming out, okay? You got to realize there's a heart problem there, okay? There's a deception problem and there's a heart problem, okay? There's a heart problem that God wants to deal with us for us to see God, okay? Now, if you want to live like that and live just that mediocre Christian life and every time something hits you, you go back down and start to go, I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to live it. But you begin to cleanse those kind of things out of your heart, God is going to show up and God is going to show out and you are going to have the blessed life that he intended you to have, okay? We've got to work on those kind of things, okay? Because it says the good man brings good out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. From out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. I'm going to tell you, what's in your heart, it's coming out of your mouth sooner or later. Okay? I promise you. But the heart and the mouth can be a good thing, okay? And I want to finish with Romans 10, 8 through 9, okay? Because just as much as the heart and the mouth are connected with negativity, they're connected with you coming into a relationship with God, okay? Romans 10, 8 and 9. It says, the word is near you. And that, the word, that's Jesus, you know? It says, because in John 1, 1, we talk, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And it's talking about Jesus was in the word. So in the Bible, a lot of times they talk about the word of God. It is Jesus. Jesus is the word. That's another message with you. The word is near you. It is in your mouth. It is in your heart. That is the word of faith we're proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth, I'm going to tell you, this is it, God. If you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, this is it right here. I want you to listen up right now. That if you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. You confess it. You say, man, I've done everything wrong to this point. But right now I'm saying, that's what I did. I've done everything wrong. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's the gospel. That's it. That's it, okay? But as you've seen, confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart, it takes a lot. It takes some life change, okay? It says, believe in your heart, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. See, it's in your heart. That word justified is the same word used for righteousness, okay? It's with your heart that you become righteous. And it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved. See, you just can't get it in your heart and it never affects your speech and never affects your life, okay? So I invite you tonight. Man, if you've never accepted Christ, I invite you to come. Because our hearts are a big deal, okay? And so as we close tonight, I just want to ask you, how'd you do? How'd you do on the examination? I didn't do so good, but I'm working on it, okay? That's me, okay? I'm working on it. God wore me out this week. But I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'll tell you one, we're going to do the invitation a little bit different tonight. Drew and Jesse, if y'all come up. Drew, y'all, I don't know everybody, most everybody knows Drew, but Drew's leaving us after tonight, and y'all don't get me crying, all right, but he's going to officer school in Quantico, Virginia, correct? And he'll be leaving on Tuesday, and I'm going to tell you what, if y'all haven't met Drew, it's your loss, because as I was preaching and teaching all these things, if I could put a face on some of the things, it'd be Drew Miller. Okay, and I'm not here to exalt Drew, because what's special about Drew is God, okay? And Dustin said it better than anybody ever heard at his wedding rehearsal dinner. He said, Drew has taught me more about God with fewer words than any man I've ever seen. And I'm going to tell you what, that's Drew. All right, and I'm not here to exalt Drew, because that's the last thing he would want. But I'm going to tell you, if you want to give Drew a going away present, give your life to Christ tonight. Because we're going to pray over Drew, man, because man, God replaces people all the time, but it's going to be a hard one. And he's leaving his wife, not forever, for 10 weeks. So she's going to be a part of the body, you know. But here's the thing I know about Drew. Drew's going with a purpose. He already told me, he said, man, the military needs some godly guys as well. And so we need to pray, Drew. We're going to pray over him now. We're going to have him come. Anybody y'all feel led to come and pray over Drew, y'all come. But if you want to come and receive Christ, man, I'll be up here with you. But we're just going to have a time of prayer over Drew and Jesse. Y'all pray over him. And man, if somebody need to leave, I understand. I'm going to tell you, this family time. But if you become a member of this church, you're part of my family too. That's the way it is. Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for tonight. Lord, I thank you for who you are, God. I thank you for all the things you've done for us. Lord, and I pray if there's anybody here tonight, God, that, Lord, just needs to come and, Lord, confess sin, Lord, at your altar. Lord, they can do it right where they're at. But, God, if they need to confess sin, God, I pray that they will do that. Lord, I pray you save people here tonight, Lord. Lord, I know that you want to do an amazing work in this body, Lord, and you already done it. And, Lord, we're giving you so much credit for everything that you've done. Lord, I praise you for the man Drew Miller is, God, Lord, and because without you, he's just a dude. You know? So I praise you, God, for him. I praise you for him letting you work in him. Lord, and I pray you bless Jesse, Lord, as he's gone. Lord, and I pray you bless them as a couple, Lord, as they minister, Lord, wherever you call them. Jesus, I thank you for tonight. Amen. If y'all want to come pray over Drew, y'all come pray over Drew, or if you want to... Father, I pray for Drew and Jesse, God. Lord, I thank you for what they mean to this body. And Lord, they are not leaving this body, Lord. They are still part of your body, the big body of Christ, God. And so I thank you for using them as missionaries, God, to wherever that you have them, God. And just praise you for, Lord, your work in their life. Lord, I praise you for bringing them together. Lord, and I thank you for the miracle of what marriage is and just the picture that it shows of you and your church, God. And I thank you that